Dawn Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the free Odyssey app.
A mom minding her own business, raising her kids, hearing what was going on when the kids during COVID were learning from home, got more involved, and has become a symbol, really, for something that I can't even believe is in question, parental rights. It's something that's front and center here in Pennsylvania. And we were lucky enough here in Pennsylvania, by the way, to really rein in our governor, then Governor Tom Wolf. Remember this? And we all went to vote and put into question his power over us and over parental rights, among other things. That's not something that's really possible or that has been done, for example, in New Jersey, where next Tuesday, you know, that primary vote, and I know many of you, the early voting is already happening, and parental rights came into question front and center and still are in New Jersey. So this is something that remains a big issue. It's not taken care of, although I would argue that certainly President Donald J. Trump has stood up for and supported parental rights. But thanks to parents, moms like Tiffany Justice, who got involved and have now really gained a national voice and certainly a lot of national support. We saw you speaking yesterday. Tiffany Justice, welcome in. Thank you for joining me this morning here on the Dawn Show. Thank you for those of you, whether you're here on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT, on YouTube, joining in the chat or on the Odyssey app. Tiffany, thanks for being here.
Yeah, thank you for having me. You're right. I mean, in New Jersey, we've seen the teachers union have a real hold on the schools. And I remember during past elections watching videos that the teachers unions have put together, really almost calling parents the enemy. And that's just horrible because parents are the number one driver of student success. And if people want kids to be successful in classrooms, then parents need to be involved.
Yeah, amen. Literally every weekend I'm doing get-togethers in the community and hearing from friends and family. I have a friend in the area who actually, she and her husband made the tough decision. This is Chester County, pulling their kids out of a public school. And thank God they can afford, you know, to go to, they're going to a Christian school. A lot of people homeschooling, for example, here in Pennsylvania, big homeschool state. So, Tiffany, people thought this issue was done, that, oh, Trump came in, he signed the executive orders that he could. But the truth is, and that's why it's important that we hear from you the update, because this remains an active issue. Can you speak to that and why you were just yesterday, you were speaking out again about it?
Yeah, I mean, I speak about it every day. I'm a mom of four kids. And, you know, during COVID, I was serving on school board and was just shocked to see the government bureaucrats who thought that they had a say in how my children were being raised and their education, their medical care. And I think all of America was shocked to see that. You know, parental rights are something we've always kind of assumed we had, right? This is a fundamental right. And what does that mean? That means that the government doesn't grant you that right. That right is granted to you by God. In fact, God commands you to raise your children and commands your children to respect and honor you. And so this is this, you know, it's a right that existed before the United States of America was created. And it's something that we, you know, that the government needs to respect. And yet, again, we've seen that there are many people that do not respect the role of parents in the children's life. We can talk a little bit about some of the most egregious actions we've seen in some of the government schools with this secret transitioning of children, right? When you have a baby, no one thinks that the hospital gets to name the baby or that the mayor of the town is going to get to come in and name your baby. But all of a sudden, we have government schools that think that they can rename, 13-year-olds without the knowledge and consent of parents. And so, it's just this upside down world that we're currently living in. And the only way that this really stops is if parents stand up and say no. There's no court that can rule on anything that's going to change what your right is to raise your child. And so it's up to us to stand up, to have our voices heard, and to say, government, get out of our homes, get back in your place. And in courts, you're meant to restrain the government from infringing on our rights. We can't look to the courts to affirm our rights or to somehow defend them in any way that we wouldn't expect our own parents, our own kids to do.
You know, one thing, Tiffany Justice, and I've reported on it regularly, just, and I would love for you to go through some of these. And I saw that you had some real advice, news you can use for what every single parent, grandparent, caregiver listening right now what they can do. So I'm going to ask you about that in a moment. But I just want to make this real for people, you know, locally, that, for example, they know I've reported a lot on with police in New Jersey and the bypass of parents in policing that really handcuffed a lot of law enforcement officers speaking out. And then as well, what you mentioned within the schools. And that's across Pennsylvania, New Jersey, and beyond, where you can have a student who decides today that their pronouns are going to be different, even a name change. And then the teachers often tell me they feel conflicted because they're in a parent-teacher conference and they're not allowed to tell the parent or make the reference. And so can you talk about, you know, really what's going on and what you're trying to bring forth, the new levels of awareness?
Yeah, we have privacy laws in this country, HFRPA, that's a law that's supposed to help to protect the privacy of students, the privacy of families, and it's really been perverted in the schools, and now all of a sudden it's the school saying they're protecting the privacy of the student from the parent. Oftentimes you'll hear school systems say, well, the parent's not willing to affirm that child's want of changing their gender. The child's scared to be open and honest with the parent. Well, you know what? If my daughter had gotten pregnant in high school, she would have been afraid to tell me. She knew that would be something that I wouldn't have been thrilled about. But is it the school's position to stand in between me and my child in order to help my daughter through that time? And that's, in fact, what many schools are doing. And so the idea that you have a child that's experiencing mental distress, and let's just be very clear about gender dysphoria, LGB, sexual orientation, T, this idea of transgender is mental distress. And we should be helping children to feel comfortable in their own bodies. No child is born in the wrong body. There's no such thing as a transgender child. And so instead of parents being able to be a part of their children's lives during this very difficult time when a child might be confused for whatever reason, maybe it's been introduced in the school, maybe it's been on social media, but you know, there are always many comorbidities that come in when a child's experiencing gender dysphoria. It's never just one thing. And the idea we cut the parents out and that the school says, you're safe here, we'll be your parent now, free mom hugs, is absolutely egregious. And you know, when the pieces fall apart later in life, who's going to be there? It's the parent. When your child has lice, the school sends the kid home and you're the one picking the nits out, right? When they have a fever, the kid goes home and the parents take care of your child. But somehow in this instance, the school thinks that they can go beyond the parent and drive a wedge between the parent and the home. To be clear, there's a tidal wave of evidence that is barreling down on the United States and all of these doctors who are providing so-called gender-affirming care. There is nothing caring about stopping the natural healthy development of a child or mutilating them and their sexual development. And so we're going to see there are lawsuits currently right now. You're going to see that there are going to be some wins. These transitioners, these young people that have changed their minds but have had this irreversible damage happen to them, they're going to be able to hold doctors accountable. You're going to see huge settlements in these lawsuits. And the gender ideology stuff is going to stop. But the problem with the schools thinking that somehow they have the right to parent your child or to stand between you and your child is absolutely insane. And again, the only way that it stops is to get involved. So I just say to every parent, get in school, get in the classrooms, meet your kids' teachers, ask if they're going to teach gender ideology. If they are, say that you don't want it taught to your child. Say you want to opt them out of the gender ideology. Right now, there's a case that's we're waiting to hear the Supreme Court rule on called Mahmoud v. Taylor. It's a case in Montgomery County Public Schools where parents said, we don't want this pride storybook collection talking about sexual orientation and gender identity with our kindergartners. We want to take our kids out of that classroom. Well, the school said, no, you can't opt your kids out of this curriculum. So this case has made it all the way up to the Supreme Court. We're going to see what that ruling is. But the bottom line is, regardless of what the Supreme Court says, you as the parent have the right to direct the upbringing of your kids. And I just say, that's why education freedom, school choice has become so incredibly important. Parents deserve and have the right to direct the education of their kids. And so we need more opportunities for parents to be able to choose other methods of education besides public education.
The Second World War is the largest event in human history.
A 20-part series with Tom Hanks.
No part of the globe was untouched. No life unchanged.
Experience the ultimate account of World War II.
Every single person had a story. These are the stories that make us who we are.
Listen to World War II with Tom Hanks on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And you mentioned, Tiffany Justice, the Mahmoud v. Taylor, the Maryland case about excusing the kids. We've had some stories, some news headlines locally that, and obviously the ramification at the SCOTUS level will impact all of us. But, you know, just your reaction to, for example, when Supreme Court Justice Sotomayor, she related an aspirin, that this kind of gender care is like giving a kid an aspirin at school or something. Does that concern you, you know, when you have these cases going to SCOTUS? And just the, I don't know, the like you're saying, the cultural warfare, the view of what this really is.
Yeah, I mean, I thought it was very interesting that, you know, Justice Barrett brought up this idea of exposure versus coercion, and the fact that what it became very clear that was happening in Montgomery County was the fact that the school system felt that it was in the best interest of civil society for the children to be indoctrinated into this LGBTQ curriculum. They did not want to allow an opt-out. They felt that they didn't care how the parents felt about it, that they thought it was the best for the community, for the kids to have to learn it, and that should be concerning to every single American. First of all, to be clear, gender ideology has absolutely no place in public schools. It's pseudoscientific nonsense. Think of other lies that you would not want taught to your child. 2 + 2 = 5, for example. You would think most parents would have a problem if all of a sudden they started teaching that. This is a lie. It does not belong in school. So, you know, opt-out's great, but they shouldn't be taught in the first place. And that's something that I'm going to be working on, will continue to work to do. But absolutely. I mean, there was a, you know, 10 years ago, you couldn't even send sunscreen to school with your kid for them to apply. Seriously, you couldn't, you know, and all of a sudden now they're going to, you know, socially transition your kids. And I know some people will say, well, what's the harm? It's just a pronoun. It's just this. First of all, it's very destabilizing to tell a five-year-old that perhaps their parents were wrong about their biological sex. Mm-hmm. That puts a seed of doubt into a child's mind that somehow their parents were wrong about something that was so simple and fundamental. Beyond that, when schools socially transition children, they put them on a path that is very difficult to get off of. And the story I relate this to is when I was 12 years old, I decided I was going to be a vegetarian. And I told everybody, oh, I'm not going to eat meat. I'm a vegetarian. Well, 6 months goes by, and guess what? I didn't feel like being a vegetarian anymore. I remember being really embarrassed. I remember going to school and eating a turkey sandwich or something and having to say, oh, yeah, well, I'm not a vegetarian anymore. And that was embarrassing for me. It was hard to do. Now, imagine you're a 12-year-old who told the entire school that you weren't really a girl, that you're actually a boy, mm-hmm. right? And you want to use different names and pronouns. Now, imagine how hard it would be to change your mind about that.
Yeah.
So you set kids on this lifelong path of social transition that turns into medical transition. Why in the world would a school think that they have the right to do that to a child?
Yeah. Amen. I mean, I think you had great advice, though, for people as far as getting involved at the school board level, making sure that your local school board, for example, has adopted, a parental rights document or some kind of guidance so that they can refer to that, just to make sure that everybody's on the same page with parental rights.
Yeah, absolutely. And so Moms for Liberty has a wonderful document, a wonderful model policy that school boards can adopt that says that parents have the fundamental right to direct the upbringing of their children, and they're going to respect parents at every level of decision making that's happening. And so I just encourage everyone to ask your school board to adopt that policy. And then I also say this, I know people are very busy in their lives. You have a business, you are having a family, you're taking care of your parents, right? You know, no one ever tells you as you get older that you're going to be raising your kids and also maybe taking care of your parents. So I know people have busy lives, but we have to get involved at the local level. We have to run for school board and other elected local offices. We have to help our friends and other candidates run for those offices. The teachers' unions do it. They put tons of money, and just watch, in 2026, because President Trump won the presidency and we have Congress, they are going to be pouring money into local elections. And so it's going to be very important that people run for office, get on those school boards, and make sure that school districts are respecting the role of parents in their children's lives.
And you've also made it, and I love that call to action because it's so important, but I know that you really announced the plans for the Parental Rights Network and just having the conversation, because I think, you know, quite frankly, it's important to have a support network for all the parents, too. Can you talk about that and tell us about your series covering, you know, economy, health, family?
Yep. So, you know, one of the things that I think has been important is the expert class in America failed us. I think during COVID, we saw like medical institutions, we really saw the fact that it's hard to know who to trust when you're a parent, and we want to know what's best for our kids. And so I've joined the Heritage Foundation as a visiting fellow. I'm so lucky to be able to work with such amazing people who are doing great policy work. And we have started a parental rights initiative. So it's a multifaceted initiative. There will be events called What's Best for Kids events. The first one is coming up on June 17th. It's called Shattered Trust, Parents, COVID, and the Vaccine Reckoning. And that'll be in person at the Heritage Foundation. You can also watch virtually. Just search Shattered Trust on the Heritage website. We also launched something called, and there will be other events, What's Best for Kids events, What's Best for Kids with the Economy, What's Best for Kids in Technology, because we want to see the conservative movement. We want to see Americans having vibrant conversations about what really is best for kids, right? Our kids are being exposed to technology, for example, in the classroom in all sorts of ways. As we take phones out of classrooms, kids are being put on more and more devices and more programs. The other thing is a parental rights network that we've launched, and it's a weekly virtual call with leaders from around the country, different leaders from the Department of Education, from the White House that want to share initiatives, but most importantly, connecting and creating camaraderie within the movement, within the parental rights movement. Parents are the stakeholders of the future, and we have to get involved and have our voices heard. We saw during COVID that there were a lot of people that were making decisions for our children that did not have their best interest at heart. And if we want a country that prioritizes kids, we as parents need to stand up and make that happen.
Well, it's such an important movement. You can go to heritage.org and everything's there. It's really easy to click on there. But Tiffany Justice, thank you so much. I hope we continue the conversation. We'll tune in for June 17th and for all these different initiatives that you're a part of. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
Dawn Stensland from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.